It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. They're going to explain what Microsoft meant when they said anybody can have Windows 10 free. It's not as easy as all that. We even have flowcharts. Stay tuned. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 419, recorded June 24th, 2015. Dueling Flowcharts. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by Squarespace. Squarespace is the place to get a beautiful website or online store. Start your trial before June 30th and get a free year of custom email and business tools on their professional or business plan. Plus, enter the offer code Windows and get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. It's time for Windows Weekly. You want to know what's going on at Microsoft? Hey, so do we.
Yeah, I was going to say, join the party.
But at least we have edumacated guesses from the two top Windows journalists in the world, Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com, the Ziff Davis. I guess you don't call it Ziff Davis. ZD stands for nothing. Yeah. ZDNet blog. Yeah. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hello.
And on her left, in the blue trunks, Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. Hello, Paul and Mary Jo. Good to see you again. Of course, I've been tagging stories for Windows Weekly all week long, even though you don't ask me. I noted, in fact,
I'm actively opposed to it, but please continue.
I noticed a few stories to talk about today.
Yeah.
In fact, it's so complicated that for the first time ever, you guys are using visual aids.
In the show notes.
Just to understand what it is we're talking about. Hey, you're going to, I should say this is my last Windows Weekly for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. I guess for three
weeks. Suspiciously, I will be gone as well.
And you'll be in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be in Germany.
Did you just say Ireland with air quotes? No, I'm really going to be in Ireland.
Ireland. And yeah.
As we call it here, East Boston.
East Boston. That'll be fun. Where in Ireland are you going?
All over the south. You know, Galway, nice. Over to Dublin, around fun. The South Bend.
Oh, I'm
back.
So jealous. Love to do that sometime.
But you're going on an awesome
trip. We're doing a riverboat like. Down the Rhine.
Yeah, I want to do that someday. Danube.
Yeah, you know, I've done a riverboat once, just for a few days
in
on the
Europe?
Nile.
Oh, really?
In Egypt. And it was It was cool. It was fun. It's different than an ocean cruise because you're going a lot slower, for one thing.
Sure.
And you're going, and you kind of land, the countryside is right there going by you the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I want to do that.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll give you a feedback. And I'm going to do sways and all.
You're
going
to post up on Facebook or whatever, right?
Yeah. Although I'm thinking, I've been trying to figure, you know, solve this.
So you end up in, you said Amsterdam to
Budapest.
Budapest, awesome.
Pest. And in preparation for Budapest, Lisa and I have been practicing drinking Tokai.
Practice makes perfect.
Oh, is that stuff good? Oh, baby. We had a Tokai the other day, the fanciest you can get. They rate
Was it George Tokai?
George Tokai. Oh, my. They rate Tokai, which is a sweet dessert wine, by amount of sugar in the Tokai.
Sure.
That's how they rate it.
You can tell it's good when you have to, like, crack the surface of it just to get it the liquid.
The best Tokai they give you in a spoon.
Yeah.
There's, like, this glass. There's this whole thing.
It's like honey or something?
Yeah. It's like
How you high taste alcohol is it? It must be really
Not very high. It's not very high. It's mostly sugar, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It sounds like it'd be really
it's
high
It's probably 20%. I don't know. Yeah. I have to, you know, that's a good question. Yeah. It's not a fortified wine like a porter or Madeira or sherry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just a sweet wine. It's Botrytis. It's the noble rot that makes it sweet.
I think I have that.
We all do, baby.
There's a beer called Noble Rot.
Is there really?
There is. From Dog
If they were witty, it would be the Noble Rot, Wrought.
Yeah.
Noble Rot.
Yes.
It's Noble Rot. All right. So I think you're going to cover the big story today. I'm just guessing, which is what the hell?
Well, I mean, we can bat it back and forth, but I guess my contention here is this is a lot simpler than people are making it out to be. And the real story is that.
About. Yeah. Stop. So Friday, there was a
Microsoft. Oh, you can't read my mind, people? What's up?
No, I can't.
No, they know what you're talking about, which is the blog post that came out of Microsoft on Friday that basically implied.
Leo, sorry to interrupt so quickly.
Yes.
Came out on Friday, came out again on Friday, came out as a new post on Monday.
I think Saturday.
Right, go ahead.
Yeah. And if you read it closely, and I was, you know, I'll be honest, because I was trying to talk about it on the radio show, and I knew that you two would have something to say about this, because we've sort of seen this before. Microsoft before said or implied that if you had pirated copies of Windows, you would be made whole somehow by Windows 10.
Leo,
then they retracted
it.
I have
now, in the year 2015, written three articles called something along the along the lines of, no, Microsoft is not giving Windows 10 to pirates. Three times.
I know. Well, get ready, because now the implication is anybody who's a Windows insider, I think this, I read it as closely as I could, and this seemed to be unequivocal. If you're a Windows insider guy, person, and you can still sign up for it, by the way, today, you will get Windows 10 for free, full license, end of sentence. Is that true?
There's a lot more to it than that. Nope. But
I knew it wasn't, but it sure read like that.
Yeah. Here's my take on this. I don't know if Gabe actually wrote that post or it's probably a group thing. And
it was a
Gabe's
tweet.
Name goes
it was
on
a
it
tweet or, too, right?
Right. Gabe, it does a good job of getting into the trenches and tweeting with people and all that too.
Yeah, good
so
for him. Yeah.
The problem is, like, you know, the product group guys. They're not thinking licensing. They're interacting with enthusiasts. They want people to be excited about this. They do have genuinely good news to share with these people. I think I had made the somewhat cynical comment some number of months ago when Microsoft explicitly said, hey, Windows Insiders are going to get this thing for free, .. like everyone else on Earth. You know, like, in other words, there's nearly nothing special about being on the Insider program except that you're getting a look at it before it ships. But as far as, you know, it coming out, I mean, you're not going to – there's no special privilege per se that we know about. I mean, I – have a secret belief that they will, in fact, give insiders the final build, you know, days or weeks early. But that's just me projecting. But as far as this stuff goes, to me, it's pretty clear cut. You know, a genuine PC running Windows 7 with SP1 or 8.1 can be upgraded to Windows 10 for free. Windows Home or Pro, depending on which version you have. I think I want to be clear about when I'm sort of making an educated guess versus just stating a fact. I do have a belief that there may be one kind of hidden benefit of being on the Insider program, which is that to date, they've only given us the pro builds. So if you had a PC with Windows 7 Home and you ran Insider Preview, you would get pro. And when the RTM version comes out, it's not like they're going to downgrade you to Home. You're going to get pro. And there's a little $40 benefit for you there, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way. But
actually does say that, right? So that's a guess on your part.
It's a guess. That's
a projection,
what I meant,
some might say.
Yeah. Yes, that's a guess.
I think it's a good guess,
just to give you the logic behind it, they have stated repeatedly that you'll be able to upgrade from a pre-release version to the final. Well, the pre-release version is pro. You can't upgrade from a pro to home. So it's a guess, but I think that would be just a nicety to give the people who actually spent the time to test the programs, et cetera, et cetera. But with regards to, you know, pirates, suddenly their ears perk up and hear, oh, you mean if I get on the Insider program now, I'll be able to get this thing for free? The way that this thing, remember that post originally talked about how things are going to change in the next build. And in the next build, you're going to have to somehow connect to a Microsoft account. You don't have to sign in with that account, but you have to connect it somehow. And they're going to make this connection up in the cloud between your account and the hardware ID on the machine. And the reason they're doing it is for this purpose of determining whether this PC is genuine and can be upgradable to the final version of Windows 10. If it's not, what you're going to get is an eval version of Windows 10 that times out after a certain period of time. And that's, I think, what the mistake that people are making, because you know, Microsoft, Gabe, or whoever said, you know, we're going to let those machines upgrade, and they are, but not to a fully activated genuine version of Windows. They're going to go up to an eval version. That thing is still not going to be genuine. It's still going to be, you know, if you want to get that thing legitimately, you're still going to have to pay for Windows 10 in some capacity. They've not hinted, but said vaguely that they are going to work with, I think it was PC makers, to provide some way for pirates to go legit, and maybe it'll be a little less expensive or whatever, but we don't know what that is. To me, the story here is they still do a pretty crappy job of communicating.
This is really the same exact thing that happened with the, but previously with the, you know, the, you know, making them whole thing. Yeah. This is the same story.
It's like a roller coaster that doesn't stop, Leo.
If you're,
it just keeps going around.
If you're
around.
A legit owner, you continue to be a legit owner. If you're not, you won't have authenticated.
The one thing I just say to people is, in general, too, is this: January or July 29th is not some magic date, right? You should wait and see what happens.
Speak for yourself, Therat.
Well, no. In other words, This doesn't have to be figured out before then. It doesn't have to be figured out on that day. If you're on the Windows Insider program or not, why don't you wait and see what happens, right? Because we have a lot of people out there who have the Get Windows Now advertisement, and they're going to get it probably. We have a bunch of people that don't. If you have an HP Stream 11 or 13 laptop, an HP Stream 7 tablet, Acer or a lot of 7. Other mini tablets.
Yep. What's that? Acer S7, we don't have it. Nope.
Okay. So there are people that, you know, what's going to happen to you on July 29th? You know, I don't know. I have a strong suspicion that the vast majority of those people who are questioning what's going to happen are just going to get it, and it's going to be no problem at all. Yeah, because it behooves Microsoft to do that.
So the reason I don't think this was as straightforward as you do is, well, first they changed the blog post once without telling anyone. And then they changed it again. And then they rewrote it, right? So I think they realized, like you're saying, that the gray area that they just keep dancing around it instead of just saying it out like pirates. You're not getting this. Boom. Just say that and finish. Done. We're done with that. The gray area to me is people who are running XP and Vista who are in the Insider program. Right. So they're here. They're testing. They've been testing all along. They've been getting the new builds. And I guess the way the post was written initially made me think they were going to be kind of grandfathered in.
That's what
you
I
weren't
thought.
Alone. To well, be very clear, I think virtually that. Everyone thought that.
But they are not. Now we know. It says in the last version of this blog post, if you're on XP or Vista, nope, this isn't the way to get Genuine, and this isn't the way to get Windows 10.
Right.
Even if you're an insider, even if you've been testing
with
us. And
there are a couple of points to be made. First of all, almost everybody at one time or another has owned a legitimate copy of Windows. It's pretty dang hard to buy a PC without it. So really the question is more not whether they're pirates, but whether their pre-Windows 7 version can be upgraded in some way.
If you're a system builder or you build your own PC, right?
And then the second issue, the second thing is, this isn't where Microsoft makes the bulk of its money, so it wasn't completely incredible that they might offer
that. I think they have a legal obligation. I think the issue was, they put out these blog posts and it's all rah-rah cheerleader stuff for the most part, or just a little announcement, no one cares. This one actually touched on licensing issues.
Yeah.
And I think at some point they had to get involved with lawyers or whatever. And they said, look, you can't say it like this. You have to.
Right.
I think you nailed it at the beginning, Paul, when you said that these guys like Gabe are really enthusiasts and they're excited and they're not saying the legalese properly.
Nobody wants to think about this stuff. But by the way,
this is Paul's flowchart. there's a blob that says free, and then there's an arrow that points to yes. Now I'm going to show Mary Jo's a flowchart, which is
this is from another guy who goes by Labnol on Twitter did this.
This is a little less simple,
and that's not even
by the way
really as
no. And this is really still pretty basic, but. I actually, this is very accurate.
This is so straightforward. And it's exactly what everybody's been saying. If you are running Windows 7 or later and you have a genuine copy, you'll get a free upgrade. Everybody else, you got to buy it. Period.
So, by the way, you said earlier something to the effect of every one of us has bought probably many versions of Windows at some point. The truth is, most of us actually haven't.
We have it with a PC.
Have a copy somehow.
But it's legit, right?
Not exactly. It may not be exactly legit for the purposes that you're maybe trying to use it for. In other words, you bought when you got by a computer, that version of Windows is tied to that computer. Period. You can't change that. So that computer could be upgraded.
And right.
I had asked for a clarification on how this system was going to work. And if you think about how, this is probably a couple months ago now. If you think about how product activation works, if you were to go into a store and buy a copy of Windows and you bring it home, you install it on your computer and you activate it and it works, right? It makes a connection to the internet and something happens and it says yes. You would further understand that if you were to walk to a second, a third, a fourth, fifth computer, whatever it was, install that same version of Windows, use that same product key, it does not work. Right. It will say, no, this version of Windows has already been
good
activated.
Point.
Well, how do they know
good
that?
Good point.
Right?
Good point.
It's up in it's in the cloud somewhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's not just the product key, right? It's a combination of the product key and what I call the hardware ID. I'm just trying to simplify it. But it is a set of information about various components in your system. They mesh it together and they come up with like some kind of a number, a value, whatever it is. And if you go back later and you try to activate that same version of Windows on that same computer, it could be 2 years later, it could be in a dual boot the next day, it doesn't matter. They'll make that comparison because that's what's in the cloud, right? It's the two things, product key and the hardware ID. As long as they're the same or over time close enough, you can activate electronically. And if they're not, you will have to call and explain, oh yeah, I replaced the motherboard or the hard drive or whatever it was. It triggered this. And they'll usually, and you know, I think Microsoft pretty much just says fine if you have the gumption to actually call them on the phone. So the way that this was described to me for Windows 10 is that it's going to work the same way. For some reason, they used the phrase Windows Store. They said that this was stored in Windows Store, but they said that the combination was your Microsoft ID, which explains why they're requiring that Microsoft account on this next build, and the hardware ID associated with your computer. And the notion here is it's going to work like product. It is, because it literally is product activation, except now they're tying it to a Microsoft account. And that's the different bit. And so you, as the owner of this thing, have upgraded it to Windows 10. Now you, as the owner of this thing, 2 months, 2 years, whatever down the road, want to do a clean install. You download the ISO. You install it. It doesn't ask you for a product key. You go to activate it. You've signed in. You know, you have to associate the same Microsoft account, right? It checks, it works, and you're good to go. And that's how it's going to work. And it's not actually that complicated. I mean, there are questions, of course. I don't have it here to see how it works, but that's how it was explained to me. And it doesn't sound that complex.
No. And you know, the part that trips people up is the way Microsoft licenses software is to the device, right? And you think it's to you, but it's not. It's to the device.
And
that's
what
I meant
to Leo's comment. Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Right. And so people are saying, here's another one of those edge cases. Hey, I've been testing Windows 10 on this machine, but I actually want to run it on this machine.
Exactly.
Right? when it comes out. But no, you can't. You have to run it on the machine you've been testing it on. Or if you have a legitimate copy of Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, that machine, you have to go get another copy. Like, it's to the machine.
But, right. In other words, it's not associated with you alone. It's like two-factor authentication. But the machine is part of it. But I would also add to that, 99% of the time, if it's July 29th or later with the first year, they go to upgrade. Everyone gets it for free. So if that thing was a Windows 7 PC or a Windows A1 PC, you're good to go.
You're going to get it if you want it.
Yeah, for free.
If you're a consumer and not a business.
It's funny there's so much conversation about this, because isn't it also the case that most Windows users don't ever upgrade? They just use the version that came with their computer until the new computer comes.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. I think the thing that's driving this conversation is
it's enthusiasts.
A small part of the user base that has different concerns and different usage patterns than the rest. You know, we've got people, I mean, within sight of me, I probably have more than a dozen computers. You know, people who are like that, well, I could tell Mike, they're going to screw me over somehow. You know, I'm not going to be able to get this computer came with Windows 8.0. I'm screwed. You know, honestly, some of us, you may have to jump through a couple of hoops, right? I mean, I have a 3-year-old Samsung Ultrabook that came with Windows 7. Actually, it came with SP1, but pretending that it didn't, I suppose at some point I might have to install Windows 7 and then install, you know, go restore it back to the original Samsung image, put SP1 on there, run some updates, and then upgrade for free. And then once I've done that, by the way, I can then clean install Windows 10 on there for the lifetime of the device. Or the that's another little weird gray area.
Right, lifetime of the device. We still don't know what that is.
What is that?
We don't know.
In other words, they're saying on that device, period, right, is what they're really saying.
The lifetime.
And is there an afterlife for these devices? We don't know.
I mean, there's no afterlife.
No, there isn't.
I don't know, too, Paul, if you've done this. I just did this the other day because someone suggested this. So you know the get Windows 10 icon when you have it on one of your machines? Mm-hmm. So you know the way you can look at the compatibility test is to click on that hamburger menu in the upper left.
Yep.
Now, what it used to look like when I clicked there, it looks totally different now.
Oh, does it?
Yes. And now it has like a menu.
Can you take a screenshot? Would you paste that? I can't look at it on this computer, so.
Yeah.
Can you paste it into the notes?
Yeah, I will.
Well, let me look at mine here. Wait a minute.
There's a menu, and it has instructions about upgrading now. But before, mine on this machine that I'm doing it on right now said to me, when you do the upgrade, this isn't going to work and this isn't going to work. And now it doesn't say that anymore.
That was the compatibility checker.
Well, and I remember what we talked about this when that first appeared. And on this particular computer, the one thing that had come up for me was the video card, which is a run-of-the-mill, out-of-the-box AMD, whatever it is, Radeon card of some, or ATI Radeon. Obviously, it's going to work fine. And so I think what's happened is the compatibility stuff is, you know, getting finalized and probably see more and more devices supported.
And it's saying, you know, we think some things may work now that we didn't think were going to work before.
That kind of thing. See here. I'm getting, when I click on it, I get this little.
So in the upper left corner, there should be that. Do you see the hamburger? I can't see the top of the screen in the thing.
Yeah, let me slide this down. Yes, there's the hamburger.
Yeah, so click on that.
Okay. But this is what you're talking about, Mary Jo, this new thing, this menu. Yeah. It says, get Windows 10, check your upgrade status, go to Windows Update, get to know Windows 10. That's new. You're right. And that was just from clicking on that icon.
Yep. This won't install and this won't install. It actually listed programs somewhere.
So yeah, that's completely different.
This is a new app. Yeah. Yeah. So, upgrade for free, familiar and easy, designed for speed, amazing new features, apps and games, how it works. Here's the thing you were talking about.
That.
Check your PC. And of course, this is a late model. This is the Dell XPS 13.
Yeah, so I mean, to me, that looks like what the screen I saw. But
that's the one that flashed up
system
very quickly.
That used to not work. Right.
Yeah. But before, mine listed specific names of apps. It said, this Dell app.
Oh, really? Apps?
And now, they're fixed, I guess.
Or they think they may fix them in time.
New confirmation. It's like an RSVP.
Yeah. Your upgrade is reserved. This is where you'd cancel it if for some reason you
didn't. They make that easy to find, too.
buried deep in there.
Yeah. But it's good. It shows things are evolving, like they keep adding more compatibility, let's hope, right?
Rapid release.
And so what this has now become is more of like a little sales pitch.
It is, and a how-to also, right? Yeah. Like, what to
this
do.
This is like, here's all the stuff you need to know. So as we get closer, this is interesting. This little app is changing.
Yeah.
This little app of mine, they're going to make it now, shine.
It says now, you can get it for free instead of, and then there's a price that's crossed out. That's
$119.
New also. That's new. That's
well, because they've announced the pricing since they released. Well, actually, they released those at the same time, didn't they?
Yeah,
the pricing information. Yeah. So, but you're right; that wasn't there before.
No.
And of course, I guess in the UK and in Europe, the price is reflected in local currency. Yeah. So we're starting to see posts about that as well.
There also is a disclaimer: yes, free, full version of Windows 10, not a trial. 3 gigabyte download required. Internet access fees may apply. Estimated retail price of Windows 10 Home full license. Actual price may vary. So
I wish Microsoft would, as part of the download, ask you if you wanted to make an ISO. Right there.
That'd be good.
Oh, you know? Wouldn't that be great? Well, wait a minute now. Won't it replace my Windows install partition, that hidden partition, with a new Windows 10 one?
Yeah.
So probably what it'll do is after the install, I bet you, it says, would you like to make a
it still makes sense to make a
bootable
setup. I mean, you want to make a recovery drive. You want to make.
Here's what Apple does, and I don't know if it's analogous, but when Apple upgrades OS 10, it shows up in the App Store. When you download it, you get something that is in fact says install Yosemite. When you run it, it deletes it. But if you're savvy enough to know inside there is an installer, you have to actually open the package, get the installer out, and copy that. And you have to do it before you run the install because it'll delete it as soon as you do.
Yeah, so people have been doing this with the builds. They don't really, so far, they with one exception, they've only released the ISO version of each build at the slow ring release.
Right.
But during the fast ring release, you can do basically what you're describing, and you can make an ISO out of the downloadable files that they provide.
I bet you
through Windows
the same
Update.
Thing.
People have been doing that with every build, yeah. You know.
So good advice is find out how to do that. And
if only someone were writing a book about this, Leo.
Well, is your book going to be out July 29th?
Yes, it is.
Oh man, you're working hard.
Yep.
Oh, there's even here's a page
like Windows. I'm going to have to keep updating. Yeah. Going forward.
Here's an interesting page. If you scroll through this, how the free upgrade works. Reserve. You'll get a notification after July 29th, after Windows 10 is downloaded to your device. Install it right away, or pick a time that's good for you. After it's installed,
what they're describing they're just describing the upgrade.
Not saying anything about ISO or anything.
But they've said separately. They have literally not said we will provide you with an ISO.
Right.
But they have said everything about
that.
They
have to.
Their language is. It's very clear that there'll be a. Yeah.
And if they don't provide very an clearly ISO, you can install it. You will be able to make one. You just have to know ahead of time what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they will. I think that's confusing for people.
Yeah.
And we're going to know what it is before the 29th. I think the next build will even be a good indication of how this is
interesting. Compared. The next build will be kind of
the first test close. Of
the
system.
The RTM.
They're getting very close.
Yeah.
Well, the leaked build is basically this. I mean,
it is, right?
We're getting this indication already. What's happening?
Good. All right. We get closer every minute.
Literally.
Literally.
We are. Yes,
to
we
our
are.
Own deaths and to the release of Windows 10.
And to July 29th. Right. Which hopefully will
July
not happen on
first,
the same.
Followed by some huge amount of time.
But again, most normal. Actually, what's different about it this time is that Microsoft is trying to get all those people who would not upgrade normally, wait till they get a new machine, to upgrade now. That's what's really different this time around. And I think that everything you see will be aimed at that group.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Right. And that's right. By the way, that's a good point because at this point in our lives, I suppose we should be able to anticipate the types of questions we're going to get when Microsoft releases a post like this. But it is always interesting how the questions people ask, it's always like, geez, like, guys, they're just trying to make it simple for people. Like, yeah, you're really overthinking this.
Because we're different than
right.
Because we all see our own particular situation, right?
That's true.
Okay, but you know, I haven't installed it on this one computer. What's going to happen with this one computer?
I think
a lot of people secretly feel like Microsoft's going to screw them over somehow. You know, and I don't. I really don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, although
I think they're going to err in the other direction and lean toward
be too generous
loopholes that will let people in that shouldn't be in and all that kind of stuff. I really don't think it's going to be a hardship for legitimate customers.
Good.
Let's hope.
Yes.
Always skeptical.
I don't know. Just because of the way this whole thing unfurled with this post, it's like, okay, this was only for one tiny group of people. It was super complicated because Microsoft licensing is super complicated. And then you're like, oh, I hope they just can work it out. I just keep thinking, how are they going to explain this branch thing to normal people, right?
That's so stupid. Mary Jo and I were talking privately about this, and within the span of 5 minutes, we came up with a dozen suggestions between us about how they could simplify this so easily and make everyone happy. It's just so simple.
Right.
But their hands have to be tied by some bizarre concern.
I blame the lawyers.
And there's weird things like tax considerations. And
there
when you give stuff away,
it's true.
That has a consequence. Yep. All of this stuff is much more arcane and bizarre.
Yeah. And whether it's
know.
Gabe or anyone else in the product teams, you know, they clearly just want people to celebrate this and be happy with it. And it must be bewildering, you know, to announce this a potential of over 1 billion people are going to get this thing for free in the next couple of months. And God, they get a lot of complaints, you know?
Yeah, really. Come
on. You can't please anybody.
It's free.
It's Microsoft. They've never screwed us over.
Why would they screw us over?
You know, though, the little screen thing we were just talking about, the Get Windows 10 app, think how awesome it would have been if they had done something like this for Windows 8.
I know.
Hey, here's how you use Windows 8. Here's what's different.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. I think they learned their lesson on that one. Like, we got to give people some hand holding here and make this really pretty easy. Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, Windows 8 will be studied for years to come. It's not just different. It's You know, I used to think about Windows Phone. Like Windows Phone was different, but it was like better. You know, it was like they really thought through the UI. Then Windows 8 is like, God, they use the same UI paradigm. It's just not better at all. Like it was just thrust on people. There was no explanation. People would trigger the charms or maybe that switcher UI. They had no idea how they did it.
Or you what know, they were.
You know, and, or how to do it again, you know.
And then sometimes they were ghosted and sometimes they weren't. And people would call and be like, what is that?
What's going on
here? Am I doing something wrong? Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. So I think they're doing things differently this time and better, despite setbacks like having to rewrite your blog post 3 times. I think still better.
Well, yeah, sometimes they're right.
Yeah.
They're trying.
They are trying. Yep.
Oh, I'm glad they're trying. In both senses of the word, they're trying.
Plus, you know, every time this happens, I get to use a picture of Johnny Depp in my article. Really?
The Dread Pirate, you know who? Yeah. Somebody wants to know, Guy Smiley in our chat room, about dual boot situations. Can I keep my Windows 8 and dual boot into 10? There's a specialized question.
So, yeah.
If you got the ISO, you could.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, yeah, sure.
So
I mean,
wait and see whether we're going to get the ISO. I'm sure you could.
The only question is going to be, would you have to upgrade that install first and then roll it back? Because, by the way, one of the new capabilities in Windows 10 is that for some period of time, I don't know if they said 30 days or some short period of time,
you could change
you're
your
able
mind?
To go back to the previous release.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, that's great.
So you could get your machine registered permitting. Up in the cloud with your Microsoft ID, and then you could run a clean install and do it. Sure, I can't imagine why that wouldn't work. I mean, just technologically.
In the past, they've validated previous installs of Windows by asking for the disk and things like that. They'll just ask for a product key, right? Is that how that's going?
Well, see, we don't know. So I honestly don't expect people to be given product keys.
Those long keys? Hopefully not.
No, because I don't think that it makes any sense to do that. Why would you make so the way that Windows setup works today, and when, you know, in like these leaked bills, for example, which I think point to where this is going, is if you have a product key, you can enter it because, of course, you might have bought it at retail, and in that case, it would come with a product key. Yeah. But if you do this system where you're upgrading for free, again, remember, you're tying your Microsoft account to the hardware ID up in the cloud. So this is never needed. And so when you run setup, do a clean install later, you skip over that step, and then it automatically activates because it's comparing that information in the cloud. You don't have to ever type in the number. So I don't really think there's a need for people to get a product ID, and thus I don't believe they will get one. That said, there are... Well, I'm talking Home and Pro.
You just mean the consumer.
Yeah. Home and Pro. Yeah, the free upgrade offer. There are utilities that will grab your product key, and then I bet there is one. And I suppose if you wanted it, you could have it. And I bet if you put it in during setup, it would probably work. But why would you bother typing in a 25-digit alphanumeric code if you don't have to?
my thoughts exactly.
I just like things to be activated immediately.
You know what I really hate? When they put up a box to put in the code, and Microsoft does this often, but not always, and you can't paste it in. Like you have to type it.
Right.
Sure. Like I have it. I just want to paste it because I've put it on a notepad.
Leo, many times I've been sitting here in front of my computer with that box up on the screen, and it's like, now what?
Where is that?
So I'll because I keep these things in OneDrive, right? So I'll go to
you need
my
another
phone,
device,
and I'll or another device, and then
you have
my
to
phone,
type
I'll,
it
you know,
in.
Kind of zoom in so I can see the number.
Oh, you and me both. It's horrible. Nightmare scenario.
But you know what? We're describing something that normal people never have to go through. So
that's not true. I bet you everybody listening to this show knows exactly.
Normal people, not people listening to the show.
Oh, normal people.
No, I mean, you know, like average consumers.
Real people?
No, I think most people, look, I'm sure there are average consumers listening to the show, but I think a lot of the people listening to the show are technical, and if they can't admit that themselves, they're probably more technical than they think they are.
Oh, hell of a lot more than probably
and would
anybody
be able,
we know. Yeah.
Are nodding along in agreement to our story here, that they've done this, before. But they also understand that maybe their mother or their sister or brother or their father or whoever, someone who is not as technical as them, that they know they may need to help them with that kind of thing. But I don't think that those people would ever run into this.
No. We're all newbies on this bus. All right. Nope. Thank you, Microsoft. All right, let's take a break, come back. Lots more to talk about than just, you know, this silly.
But it actually took like 45 minutes. I told Mary Jo we were going to get through this in like 7 or
10
minutes.
I know, he's like, we're going to get through this in 10 minutes. I'm like, no, we're not.
Not with those flow charts.
No, no.
You, as I said to her before the show started, do you ever get sick of being right all the time?
Mary Jo. I do see.
And I said, I haven't had enough practice at that to comment.
Hey, I do want to talk about this crazy Samsung story and a lot more coming
up. Oh, yeah,
up.
We should talk about
crazy.
That. Yeah, that was
crazy. Did I say crazy enough? Crazy. Cray cray. But first, let's talk about something you're going to love, Blue Apron. In fact, I know you guys do love Blue Apron.
Yeah.
It is, they send you, I guess, how can I describe this in a nutshell? It's as if somebody went to the store and shopped for you, brought all the best, freshest produce home, and then said, and here's how you prepare an amazing meal. It's incredible. It comes to your door, delicious ingredients, fresh, never frozen, step-by-step instructions on a beautiful 8.5 by 11 heavy cardstock coated card, so suitable for saving or framing, for that matter. So you know, I mean, it's great. You get home from work, it's 5 o'clock. In half an hour, you've got a gourmet meal ready to go. They have personal plans that include two meals, and they have family plans too with kid-friendly ingredients. And you, it saves you wasted ingredients because it's always just the right amount. And it never assumes you have anything. It's so cool. A little bunch of parsley, that kind of thing. Each meal is healthy and balanced, about 500 to 700 calories per serving. And by the way, delicious. I mean, that goes without saying. These are so good. My mouth is watering thinking about them. Like grilled brie sandwiches with quick strawberry jam and red walnut arugula salad. That'd be great for you, Mary Jo. Or lamb and risotto style ditalini pasta with spring onion and green beans. And the thing is, if you looked at that, you said, well, I could never cook that. But you can, because they give you everything you need, and they walk you through it. There's even videos on the site. The recipes are on the site if you want to look at their recipes. And you can use those for free. You'll cook incredible meals, great for date night. And you'll be blown away by the quality and the freshness. Blue Apron. Fun for cooking with friends, too. It's just, I mean, there's so many great things about this. Let's give you two meals free so you can find out for yourself. Go to blueapron.com/twit. This is a hard ad for me to do because my mouth is always watering throughout the ad. I want this. All right, blueapron.com/twit. Two free meals just for going to blueapron.com/twit. This is the best idea. Whoever invented this, I shake your hand. It is brilliant. It is fun, and you're going to love it. And we thank him so much for supporting Windows Weekly. And I hope we sent you more boxes, you guys. I hope so.
No.
whoops. No.
Not yet.
As a matter of fact, no.
Well, my kids are starving. Thanks.
I will try to get another one sent out to you. blueapron.com/twit.
Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
When you started that ad, I looked at my email, and I got an email from someone that said, if you go to twit.tv/shows, Windows Weekly isn't there.
Well, that would be a mistake.
And it isn't.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, what are you trying to tell us, Leo?
You've been canceled. Wait a minute. Yeah, it is. There it is right there at the bottom there.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, if you just go to twit.tv/shows, what do you get?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, you get no filters. That gives you every damn show there is ever.
Well, not everyone, because Windows Weekly's not
it
there.
It stops at... Oh, you know, it's not paginating. That's why.
Oh.
All right, I'll file a bug. Yeah. So normally, if you click the show's link, you get a filter, which is the active shows only. So you can see this filter's active, and it doesn't. It reaches the end of the page before it runs out of space. You can change these filters. Just say, I just want to see retired. That'll also work without running out of space. But if you do both,
right,
then it doesn't. And you know what? Because they, you know. Web designers don't assume that you're going to just go to a link or something. So that's what happened. That's easy to fix. They need to paginate it or just make room for more.
But I also recommend that we display these in reverse alphabetical order.
I know, you kind of get screwed by that. Most people are going to click the show's link, and of course you're right there at the bottom. We thought about, should we do this out of order? But I think if it's in alphabetical order, it's just easier.
No,
to find.
I mean, honestly, that would be terrible.
We used to do it that way. We put like your show would be one of the top shows, so it'd be in the top five. But
I mean, I think a special place at the top for the top shows would be great.
Yeah.
Or we could change it to a Windows Weekly.
We also, we're going to add, we're going to make, so right now the way it works, remember this is also a site that's designed for small screens as well as large. So we didn't want to have this grid of recent shows be too long.
Sure.
But people are complaining, well, I only see, you know, the three latest shows.
I'm intrigued by the show called OS 2 Today. Oh, no, wait, that's not
iOS 2 Day. OS 2 Today would be a great show, though. But what we're going to do is, I think, is make these links up here actual links. So you could click this, and you'd get another. We actually have this page, but it's hidden. twit.tv/episodes, which shows chronologically episodes as they've been posted, and it goes forever. So you could go back in time and see all the shows ever.
That's good.
What's going on there? Yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay.
It's a nice Pong screen.
You know what that is? It's funny. This site is heavily cached, right? We do a lot of caching, but nobody's ever been to this screen. So I populated the cache.
That's great.
That was the first time. Now if I go back to that page, it'll pop up because it's now in the Redis cache. Or maybe it's because it's building this uniquely. It might be. Yeah, it probably is. It's probably not cached because it has to be fresh. Now, see now how fast that was? So anyway, yes, thank you for the bug report. That's an error. And it happens when you give you all the shows, we run out of space.
So it's just missing like a page two link or something.
Yeah, we have to paginate it. Either that or increase the total number of shows. I think the great developers at Four Kitchens were a little stunned when we said there are 11,000 episodes of shows.
Oh, wow. Total? Wow.
Total. We've been doing this a while.
That's and, amazing.
And it was like, wow. So I think we just have to, I will follow.
You got to be closing in. It must be like 10 years next year.
Is that it is more than 10 years now. We celebrate our 10th anniversary in April.
Okay.
Yeah. April.
Yeah, I remember when you called me, I was heading off to my first home swap. So I think this is our 10th one coming.
Isn't that amazing?
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been doing this show. This is episode, 419. So yeah, 8 years we've been doing this show. A little more than eight years. Pretty amazing. Moving along. What do you want to talk about next? There's an SDK for Windows 10, right?
There is.
Yes. Is that important?
Yes. It came out in April, the first release of it at Build. And at that time, Microsoft said, you know what? We're going to be releasing updates to the Windows 10 SDK through the Insiders program. And they haven't since then. I mean, it hasn't been that long, but they haven't. But they did a new blog post this week that said, you know what, we are going to start doing that, and it's going to be this month, which means six more days, sometime in the next 6 days, there should be an SDK available to Windows Insiders. And it's going to be mostly timed to coincide with the Windows 10 builds, the preview builds going forward. So they're going to keep updating it, even after RTM, I would assume. And so if you're somebody developing apps, you probably will want to get a jump start on that. We already know the existing apps will mostly all work on Windows 10 if you've built store apps already. But if you want to tune those apps or guarantee that they're going to work on Windows 10, you definitely are going to want to get these SDKs and the tools as they become available to make sure. So, yeah. One more thing for insiders.
Uno más.
The little thing that's neat about this potentially, although this is going to become less of an issue moving forward, is that they're going to include emulated builds with it of both mobile and desktop. And that's something we haven't really seen with mobile in particular. And so it's possible, let's say they release a new build of Windows 10 this week, they release a new version of the SDK, we could get a version of Windows 10 mobile in the emulator that's newer than what we have on our phones. And that would be kind of interesting because obviously there'll be new features in there and so forth. So I'm surprised they weren't doing this all along. When they announced this, I sort of assumed they were updating the SDK as they went, but I guess they hadn't been. Yeah.
At least not publicly, they haven't. The other thing they talked about, remember when we came to the studio at Build, we talked about those bridges that they announced at Build? One of those bridges, the one that's called Project Westminster, which is the one where you can take a website and package it and turn it into an app, a lot of the documentation is now available on that. They call them hosted apps. And there's a link in the blog post about this where you can go and start looking at the documentation and if you have a website you want to turn into an app, start getting that ready for Windows 10 now. The other bridges, we don't yet have anything public. They've been taking some private testers who want to do the Android bridge and the iOS bridge, but right now that information is still not public.
Incidentally, I just received a note from our developers at Four Kitchens. They fixed that shows bug. It's in the dev.
Oh, wow, really?
It's in the dev pipeline, and it'll be pushed up to production soon. They're really good. They're really amazing. They're doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
Well, I'm still mad, Leo, so.
And by the way, we can change that sort order. I can do that, but I decided to do it alphabetically just because I'm good. SDK is always good, especially for those people writing fabulous new TWID apps for Windows 10. Love hearing that.
Yep.
And
come on, people.
And when you say it aligns with the mobile, that doesn't mean it's the same as mobile. It's not like one SDK to rule them all. Or is it?
Actually, it is. I mean, so in other words, the emulator will include both the desktop and mobile versions of Windows 10. Mobile has been trailing behind the desktop version to date, although it's actually caught up a bit in the last release. So this, you know, it could potentially be kind of a big deal if you're interested in what's happening with mobile. And there were 7 or 8 of us that are, so.
One or two people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and people have been asking about Visual Studio 2015 also because these SDK and developer tools align with that. And right now that's in release candidate stage. It's almost done. It's in the final preview stage. Right. So we think Visual Studio 2015 final is going to be out right around July 29th. The blog post made that seem like it would be the case. But when I asked Microsoft if it did mean that, they said, we aren't reading that way.
Actually, what they said was, well, if you have a genuine version of Windows 7.
Yeah. So we don't know exactly when Visual Studio 2015 is going to hit GA, but I would guess either right before July 29th or on July 29th, right around there.
Speaking of which, you may recall that when Microsoft originally announced the Office mobile apps for Windows 10, or Universal Apps, whatever they're calling them this week, that they promised to release them at the same time as Windows 10. And they haven't talked about that in a while, but they're coming. No? You think it's later? I'm not talking about Office 2016. I'm talking about the mobile apps.
I thought the mobile also in the fall.
Okay.
But you can run the preview versions of those.
Yes, that's true. Okay,
till then,
sure.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll get at least an update before then.
Yeah.
Hope springs eternal.
Right.
And Windows 10 no longer relies on your MSA. Is MSA your Microsoft account, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. That's one thing I didn't like about that blog post and Gabe All.
Yeah, they just launched right into acronym.
Yeah, you know? And it's not. Yeah. I mean, I kind of figured out that but you don't know for sure.
I only recently saw the acronym MSA. I mean, within this calendar year, I don't remember when it was exactly, but I remember not understanding. What is this?
Here's a tip,
and
guys.
I had never heard anyone refer to that as MSA.
If you're doing communications with the outside world, Marcom. You know, use words the outside world, you know, is pretty sure they understand.
Yeah.
I know it's a tweet and everything, but
it's priceless. What that means, by the way, is that in Windows 8, you could actually get around using a Microsoft account. You could sign in with a local account. Obviously, you can sign in with a domain account and connect a Microsoft account if you want to. But to use a lot of the apps and experiences in Windows 8, you had to either connect your Microsoft account or just sign in with your Microsoft account.
Right.
I mean, there was just no way around it. And, you know, for example, the example I used in my article about this was the Mail app, which is connected to Calendar and People in Windows 8. And so if you wanted to, I use Gmail and I want to use Gmail in the Mail app that comes in Windows and you go to run it, it makes you sign into a Microsoft account first, even if you don't want to use it. There's no way around it. If you say no, the Mail app closes, you're done. In Windows 10, you can just sign in with your Gmail account. You don't have to use a Microsoft account. And you don't have to sign in. You don't have to sign into the system with a Microsoft account. Obviously, there are certain things that require a Microsoft account. If you're going to buy apps from the store, if you're going to buy anything from the store, which, by the way, I think is one of the reasons they moved purchasing music and movies and TV shows out of those apps and into the store, is because there would be this one place where you had to sign in. But if you wanted to use the movies and TV show app, which is now what the video app is called, or if you wanted to use the music app, you don't have to sign in. You can just use it. And
of course, you won't see your music unless you sign in. That's the reason. I mean,
yes, but there's a big audience of people. Remember, they're trying to attract Windows 7 users. Windows 7 didn't have a Microsoft account sign in. They actually did have a very low level way to connect your account to a Microsoft account, although very few people knew about that. But you couldn't sign in with a Microsoft account. And so I think what they're really doing is meeting the expectations of that enormous user base, which is, I just want to run these apps. I don't want to sign into anything. And they're going to allow that for a lot of it. And I think that's a really nice change for those people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Although I agree. It was a little disconcerting when they first started doing that. It's like, what? I don't know.
Like everything else in Windows 8, I mean, there are people who understand what it's there for and appreciate the stuff you get with it. Because there is some neat stuff. You get settings sync across PCs.
Right. I love that.
And it's like a single sign-on kind of thing. Yeah. So you run the music app and your collection just appears. Right. So you go into the news app and all your favorite topics are all there, that kind of stuff. And that's wonderful if you want it, and it's there. And I do personally want it. I like that stuff. But, you know, there are a lot of people who are still, the cloud might be a temporary condition. I'm not sure if I want to jump in that right now. So I just like that they're respecting the fact that different people want different things.
I could while away the hours. Did you know that Office for Android Phone is here? Did you see
that? That's my software pick.
Okay.
I heard that.
I won't say nothing. Zip. Surface 3 is getting a firmware update, I hear. I hear it.
Wait, don't you want to talk about Samsung first?
Oh, of course. I forgot.
No, yes.
Yeah.
It was Samsung.
What a boneheaded move that was. Would you explain?
Yeah,
did you
actually,
write this one, Paul? Because I didn't write this. I just
did.
Linked
and actually, I have a little bit of background on this that I think is relevant because I, you know, HP earlier this year released an Envy X360 system that bypasses this problem that Samsung was having. And the way it does it is they worked with Microsoft to ensure that the Windows updates that are delivered to that device are specific to that device and are not just generic drivers. And the reason they want to do that is because what HP found and what Samsung has found, the cause of this, is that, you know, just because companies like Intel or the video card maker or the hard drive maker or whatever release updated drivers doesn't mean that those drivers are better for that particular system. There's kind of a holistic thing going on in the system with a bunch of different drivers and hardware devices, and sometimes different combinations of things work better on that particular system. So they work with Microsoft, and they ensure that is what happens. You only get the drivers that HP says are the best drivers for that machine. You don't get generic drivers, even if they're newer. So Samsung had the same problem. And what they decided to do was write a program. Samsung, like a lot of PC makers, Lenovo does this, Samsung does it. They have an application. In their case, it's called SW Update that, you know, downloads specific updates for Samsung devices, you know, Samsung applications and utilities and drivers and other things. And a lot of PC makers do that. But they released an update that disables Windows Update. And so you only get driver updates now and any updates through the software update application instead of through Windows. And there are interesting implications to that. But one is that's malware. I mean, you they're disabling the system that users use to keep their system secure. Really, really dumb. The thing that I happen to know about, because I actually talked to Gabe All about this, is that that system that HP is using, they opened that up to all PC makers. And I don't know if this has changed, but at the time, a couple months ago, HP was the only one that had really bitten on it. They were like, yeah, we really want to do this. We want to make sure that the same care is taken with these systems down the road as we give to them when we make them, right? Because they ship them in this state that is highly optimized. And they don't want Windows Update or anything else to screw it up. And Samsung decided to go the other route, which was, you know, kind of the nuclear option. We'll just turn off Windows Update. So to my knowledge, Samsung has not responded to this publicly. I think it's fair to say Samsung doesn't necessarily have the same overly positive relationship with Microsoft, say, that HP or Lenovo might. But I would imagine this will probably, you know, go away because this is such a clearly bad idea.
Yeah.
So
let's hope, right? I mean,
It's so clearly malicious. It's just so dumb.
Is it malicious? Is that what it is, or just dumb? I mean, they wanted their updates. They were worried about driver conflicts, so they decided to disable what they should. Right. I mean, that's not how to do it, but they decided to disable Windows Update. The problem is it doesn't just disable
Secretly disabling Windows Update.
It's not, probably not a good thing to do.
Not smart.
Somebody keeps saying, and I guess because they're so persistent and I don't want to see it anymore, Muchacho says, what happens to your Windows 7 key if you take the upgrade?
Right. Well, actually, that's not that hard to answer. If you bought a computer that had Windows 7 on it, that key is sunk. You can't use it again. I mean, you could install Windows 7 again on that computer. If you bought a retail copy of Windows 7 and you have, then you have the licensing ability to migrate that key to a new machine, you could install it on a different computer. That's it. I think that's the only way to answer it.
Yeah. Enough said.
Yeah.
There you go, Muchacho. Direct.
It depends on how you got it.
Personal answer from the man himself. It depends.
So you mean me?
You're the man.
Yeah.
So we're waiting to hear what Samsung says. You know, these OEMs, I could see why Microsoft finally said, we're making Surfaces. You guys, between Lenovo's Superfish, I know. Samsung's
Windows Update's bad. I tell you, a friend of mine from Microsoft, this is years ago. I think at the time Dell was the biggest PC maker in the world, but he was talking about the relations they had with Dell and just how much they hated each other. And he said, you know, it's really interesting. He's like, Microsoft and Dell really deserve each other. You know, they just, it's such a double-edged sword, this kind of partnership, because PC makers, of course, are what made Windows in many ways so successful.
Right.
But they're also what is screwing up Windows every single day of the week when they put out these machines with crapware. And
it's funny because I remember talking to Andy Grove back when he was Intel CEO, and it was the exact same thing between Intel and Microsoft. They needed each other desperately, Wintel. But at the same time, Andy said, oh, man, I wish they'd just keep their software up with our hardware. They're still 32-bit. We're making 64.
Remember Intel in the 1990s was going to get into software, and they were going to write multimedia libraries for Windows. At the time when Windows, Microsoft was making WinG, which, you know, turned into DirectX. And, man, they went, Microsoft went nuclear on them, you know. You guys make hardware. We make software.
That's the way it is.
Spain and Portugal, you don't start putting middleware on Windows.
Let's do HoloLens.
We got to talk about
HoloLens.
Yeah, we got to talk about this.
We've
talked about it on the show, a few times. And we said maybe there was still a chance that the field of view of the HoloLens would be expanded. Because when Paul and I saw it in January, it had a fairly sizable field of view when we had it. I mean, I don't know how big that was, but like the size of a small box of business envelopes, let's say.
Okay, like that.
Okay. Now, it's a mail slot.
It was good. It was
right.
Big.
So we weren't sure if Microsoft was going to be able to change
that. Let me emulate
that
it for you now. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, it's just like a peephole. You're looking through you know what you're doing? You're walking up to the front door and you're looking through somebody's mail slot. That's what you're seeing.
Exactly. Well, now we know because Kudo Sonoda, who works on HoloLens with Alex Kipman, did a video appearance on Giant Bomb, whatever Giant Bomb is, but it was a video where he was asked.
Video game.
I don't know what it is, guys.
Jeff Gerstmann, our close personal friend. It's a big gaming site.
Let me say.
Out of Petaluma, California.
How dare you, Mary Jo?
How dare you?
Sorry, guys.
Giant Bomb is
never
great.
Heard of it till this interview.
There
but
you go. Now you know.
Sonoda went on Giant Bomb and was asked explicitly what's going to happen with the field of view. His exact quote is, I think you're never going to get the full peripheral field of view. But certain hardware we have, the field of view, it's not exactly final, but it's not going to be hugely different from what it is now either.
Right.
So yeah, mail slot. That's it. That's how it's going to debut.
There is a weird segment of the population out there, because I deal with them on Twitter, unfortunately, they really want this thing to be great, you know, and they want to believe that it's going to change. And they keep pointing out to me that this thing isn't final and that you should not be basing a decision or an opinion on some, you know, whatever. And it's like, guys, I want to believe. I get it.
But when the guy who's working on the thing says it's not going to be hugely different from what it is right now, Okay, we have to go
with
him.
When they switched to something that was basically the final hardware, that should have been the heads up, and it was for me, but it should have been for everybody that, you know, this is what it's going to look like. I mean, it's too bad.
Yeah, so that'll be version one. And, yeah, you know, a couple people have said to me when this video came out, they said, you know, do you think this is another example of Microsoft being too early again, like they were with Kinect, like they were with Spot? Right. And why didn't they just wait, even though they want to get this thing out there and in the Windows 10 timeframe?
What's the rush? You know, no one
right.
has.
Why not do it next year? How about
an augmented reality solution in the pipeline that we know about?
And they're already doing partnership with Oculus, right? They're doing a partnership with Valve. So it's not like they're not going to be in. I know augmented reality is not virtual reality, but they're going to have some things available in this space, this overall space. I think they should wait. I really think they should.
I would take it a step further. You know, one of the things they're very proud about with HoloLens is that it's fully untethered. It's a battery pack, battery-based wireless device. Yeah. Why? You're not gonna walk out the door and walk up the street with the thing on. It's not Google Glasses. You're literally going to be using it in a room always.
Do you remember the video we saw back in January when they first showed HoloLens? Showed a woman walking around outside wearing it.
Sure. That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
I mean, she was working at a...
But that woman will probably end up in a mental home.
No, it was like she was in a showroom. A car showroom or a motorcycle showroom.
The world's on fire.
There's a crazy homeless person walking around with what appears to be a VR helmet.
Not on the New York subway, let's hope. But still, yeah, I agree. Maybe that is the first way you debut it is, okay, if that's what you need for the bigger field of view, it's tethered.
There's so many directions you could go with this. You could have the version they have in like kind of a pro or bigger version. It has a more immersive kind of helmet, whatever.
Remember, there's a device on the market now that looks like that, right? It has this, I forget the name of that.
You just moved your hands and it looked like someone was about to poke you in the head, but then I realized it was you.
It was mine.
Leo was reaching through the internet.
Paul, you tweeted this a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It was some industrial type equivalent of the HoloLens and it had a full mask.
It looked like a welder's mask kind of thing.
Right, it looks like a welder's mask. Yeah.
Yep.
Why not that?
I don't remember the name of it, but exactly. I think there's the type of people that would be kind of hardcore about this thing, which frankly right now is just about anyone who would be interested in this thing, I think would want that wider view, and most of them would want or would be perfectly okay with a bigger headset. I mean, why not this big glass thing that gives you more of a field of view?
Why not? But now
I'm sure it's expense related. It's processing related, battery power related.
It's much processor. And they made an interesting choice to put the PC in the headset, which really I think affects everything. I mean, I think that's an unusual.
Yeah, it's they've decided to take this thing that could be tethered, more of a traditional kind of PC sort of thing, and they turned it into like the first Mac. It's just like a sealed unit.
Yeah.
And that means it's really not going to be upgradable from a hardware perspective, probably. At least in any meaningful way. And there's no doubt this stuff is going to get better, but it's going to leave behind those people who did adopt the first version. Or because there is a first version out in the world, it will make it more difficult to advance the software because that first device won't be able to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, or handle big advances or whatever. Anyway, here it comes, folks. So
get ready.
Enjoy.
This year, but...
Did they ever say this year? They said within the Windows 10 timeframe, which could mean...
Well, it's forever, right? Because now we're
pretty much
Windows 10 forever.
Yeah.
So sometime between now and when the Earth implodes into the sun, we will release HoloLens.
It might be this holiday. I'm kind of thinking it won't be, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, Surface Hub is coming out a lot more quickly than I sort of thought it would for some reason.
But they've been working on that for a couple of years also, sourcing it and building it, right? And I don't know how long they've been getting the components they needed for the HoloLens headsets assembled.
Right. A little more rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Surface 3 firmware update. You want to talk about that now?
Yeah. I mean, the Surface 3 stuff is notable just because this is the first time we've seen a Surface 3 set of updates. And there's a bunch of them, actually. which is not all that surprising. The typical, if you were to look at the firmware updates month by month for any Surface device, I'm sure it starts up high and kind of, you know, doesn't go linearly, but goes down over time. So a bunch of stuff there, and that's cool. But Surface Pro 3 also got a firmware update, and there's fewer updates, but one of them adds support, very vaguely, for new features in Windows 10, and that's kind of interesting. And so they're obviously getting that machine ready for the public upgrade to Windows 10, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. But, and then Band got a firmware update also, although they're not saying what's in that except
general
fixes
or something. Updates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they just announced the Golf update, and I wonder if that is not prepping it for that. Because I don't believe the Golf update came as part of it, but maybe that was a prerequisite. But yeah, actually, by the way, this morning, I go for a walk every morning, and I'm laden down with technology like the idiot that I am. But I was going to do something, you know, with the Band, and I got the update, and I had to sit there and wait for this thing to update. So I'm sitting on my kitchen table. My wife walks by. She said, "I thought you were walking. What do every morning? Come down here and sit at the table and pretend you're walking?"
You know? Oh, you're busted. Busted.
My Microsoft Band has to update. And, you know, she just like shakes her head and walks away. It's just,
I can't walk with an out-of-date Band. Don't you
I'm not going to walk and not have it be tracked, Leo. It's like I never walked.
I
What's
know.
The point?
It doesn't count. No calories involved.
Yep.
Yeah, what's the point of walking without the Band? No, I've done that myself. I know. I'm with you. I understand, Paul. Been there, done that.
It's all about the achievements. I like my wrist vibrates and it says, "Hey, you've completed some goal for the day," and it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's nice.
It's nice.
Of course, then I don't move for the rest of the day. But.
Oh, we have the name of the headset we were talking about.
Yes.
Daqri, D-A-Q-R-I.
Oh, like a daiquiri.
Oh, this is the augmented reality headset.
Josh Jacob just sent the link to me for that. And it's a smart helmet. That's
a smart helmet. And therein lies the problem.
Smart helmet, the character like helmet. From Spaceballs, that guy.
But you know what? It's made for work. This thing is made to use in industrial settings. That's what this is for.
Yeah, right. But... Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying HoloLens is made for industrial settings per se, but it is basically made to be in a room. I mean, you're going to use it in an office, in a lab or whatever. I mean, seems like that's the way it should be.
Yeah. You talked about Surface 3 firmware updates. I'm trying to remember.
Yep,
we got sidetracked with the HoloLens there.
Yeah,
and the wristband. Okay. The 735 is now on Verizon. And are you going to replace your icon, Mary Jo?
No.
See, I think you have the 935, so that's 200 less.
Yeah, I have the, what's the icon? 929 is the icon.
Okay.
This is the...
So you got the red one. Nice.
I got the red one. Yeah. Check it out. Verizon.
The exclusive to Verizon.
Yep. This device has been out for a while in other countries, right? I forget, months, 6 months?
Since last October.
Yeah, but now we have it on Verizon, so this is my loaner device. And I got to tell you, the thing I love about it is how light this thing is and thin compared to the icon. Man, it's really light. It's got a plastic back, that's why.
Well, by the way, when they showed that to me, I first saw this thing last October, and when he handed it to me, it's like a balloon, you know, kind of raises
it
up. I actually said to him, I said, "This is clearly an engineering sample. I mean, do you have one that works?" And he says, "No, that's the phone." Because what it looks like is the 920, which was a big, heavy, dense, you know, brick. And this thing is beautiful and light.
Really nice.
And it feels nice in your hand, doesn't it? It's like a nice, it's nice to hold it.
I don't even think I would put a case on this because it feels like it wouldn't slip out of my hand. The icon is very slippery and I am always scared I'm going to drop that thing. The downside, no dedicated camera button. Wow. I really miss that now. And then also what do you call those three things at the bottom? Those three buttons, the home button, the search button, and the back button.
Yeah, the navigation bar.
Those navigational buttons are not on the bezel, right? They're actually
They're in software. Pros and cons to that, by the way. I mean, with the software-based navigation, you can actually hide that if you want to.
Yeah, that's true. But I keep inadvertently bumping them and like losing them.
Yeah, and then it gives you a little warning.
Turning them back.
Sure. Yeah.
But otherwise, I really like this phone so far. And the battery life on this is
the camera
awesome.
Is spectacular. In fact, I think it's like a 6.7 megapixel or whatever it is. I on that same walk today, because everything revolves around my walk this morning, I took a picture of some of the flowers in our yard, and I took one with a 1520, which is the phone I normally use, and also with the 735, because, you know, I can't carry too many phones. And honestly, this is you could zoom in and see the difference a little bit, but the 735 takes fantastic photos for what that camera is. It's amazing. Hmm. I'll put them up today sometime. They're really
I haven't
nice.
Had luck with it. I think just because there are a lot of options and settings, and I haven't got those all set well yet. So okay. I'm not loving it as much as my Icon camera, but it's not bad. It still takes an okay beer picture. That's my criteria.
That's the key. I put a flower picture in the show notes, by the way.
Cloud.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a little cloud.
Let's talk some Azure, MJ.
Let's talk some Azure. And let's talk some containers, mostly.
Whew. All right, let's slow down a little here, shall we?
So this week has been the DockerCon show, which, you know, it's no E3, but it's a big show if you're into containers and container technology. So Microsoft was at that show. Mark Rusinovich himself was there doing some demos where he was showing apps going on multi-platform containers. You know, Microsoft's doing a lot of things with containers itself. It's building containers into the next version of Windows Server, Windows Server 2016. It's got containers already for Linux in Azure, and it's doing some things around building a container that runs on top of Hyper-V, because, you know, a lot of people think hypervisors and containers are opposites, but Microsoft's actually melding those two technologies as well for the next version of Windows Server. So Mark's been talking up containers a lot. He's been talking about the whole vision of microservices that Microsoft is adopting with Azure. In fact, if you remember, Azure has infrastructure as a service side, where you run virtual machines with Windows Server on them or Linux on them. That's one way you can run your stuff in the Microsoft cloud. But you also can run it in Microsoft's platform as a service technology. And that means you rewrite your app or you build an app from scratch that takes advantage of all the things that you get inherently by being a cloud app. So not that many people have been doing Microsoft platform as a service piece, but now they're changing it up, what they're doing there, and they're doing something called the Azure Service Fabric. And this is a whole new way of doing the platform as a service part of Azure. And Mark Rusinovich has been talking about that as well, how in the future, and not too distant future, I bet, Microsoft's going to be supporting Linux in its platform as a service. It's going to be supporting containers there. It's going to even let you write with Java, people. They're really getting a whole new religion over there. I know. Shocking. Crazy, crazy talk. Yeah. So this week, they were talking a lot about that. They were talking about Linux and Azure and containers and Java and Docker and how Microsoft's working with the Docker community. They're in fact the biggest contributor to Docker, the Docker code base right now, and have been for the past few months. Which, just when you hear that, you're like, wait, Microsoft? So, you know, Satya Nadella said he loves Linux, and Microsoft is all in with the open source world these days, and now you kind of believe it. Microsoft's joining this new, even crazier, a new project that was announced this week called the Open Container Project, which is meant to bring standards across.
Now, we have an open container law here in California.
Yes, everybody's like, right. Oh, open container, you could do a fun graphic with that one. But no, yeah, this is a Linux stuff. Foundation. Yeah. Linux Foundation, guys. Remember when Microsoft hated these guys and they were always fighting? Now they're working with them on this open container project to create standards for containers. And it's not just them. It's Google in there. VMware is in there. All the big companies are in there. CoreOS. It's a very different Microsoft.
Yeah, that's great. No, Docker's amazing. And I'm glad they're jumping on that. Hey, here's Paul's picture. I just got the update.
I know. Wow.
That is beautiful.
I can't believe you took it with that camera.
Well, no, when you zoom it in, I mean, I took a one with the 1520. The 1520, obviously, it's a bigger picture.
Oh, this is the 1520.
Picture. No, no, this is the 735.
All right.
They look nice. When you zoom in, there's more artifacting and blurring on the 735 version. But when I used the international version of this phone last fall, I was blown away by the camera, and it's I still have the same reaction. It's nice. It's really nice.
Beautiful picture. Yes. All right, let's take a break. Back of the book coming up here. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Microsoft. Right now, though, I'd like to talk a little bit about making the best website you can easily, simply, affordably at Squarespace.com. Squarespace is the place for the best hosting, the best software. They tightly link to give you an amazing experience and to give your users, your viewers, your readers an amazing experience. Whether it's a blog, a business site, a professional website, an online store, Squarespace makes it beautiful. Great templates for musicians, too, including CD sales or digital download sales, including concert dates and all of that. It's robust. It's reliable. It just never goes down. State-of-the-art technology. All their sites are responsive, too, so it doesn't matter how your users come to your site. And nowadays, most people come via mobile. It'll look great on a tiny screen and on a big screen. It's great for a wedding site. You can get started right now. Just go to squarespace.com. Click the Get Started button, and you've got 2 weeks free. E-commerce available on every single site, even the $8 basic trial plan. If you start your trial before June 30th, and that means you've got only a few more days, you'll get a year of custom email and business tools when you sign up for either the professional or the business plan. Squarespace.com. These are the beautiful, by the way, the single page sites. They call them cover pages. This is really great if you've got, you know, a special release or, you know, something to talk about. This is part of your account as well. A single page website, and you can create it in minutes and just really be doing everything you need, boom, like that. It's just a mind blower. I think Squarespace is incredible, and I want you to try it right now. Squarespace.com. Use the promo code Windows when you buy. You'll get 10% off any plan. And you'll let them know you heard it on Windows Weekly, which ain't bad either. Squarespace.com. When you sign up for a year, you get the domain name as part of the deal, as part of the price, and the pricing is very affordable. And don't forget, sign up for the trial. Click the Get Started button before June 30th, and you'll get a free year of custom email and business tools on either the business or the professional plan when you do sign up. And use that offer code Windows to get an additional 10% off. Squarespace, we love it. You will too. Build it beautiful. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, the beautiful people of the Windows Weekly team. Let's start with Paul well, Thurrott.
The people, anyway.
They're people. Windows Weekly is made of people. Your tip of the week, my friend.
No, I guess we actually covered this earlier in the show. I didn't
know this. It doesn't matter. It's still a good tip.
Well, Leo.
Reiterate.
No, Microsoft has finally stepped back from the cliff, as I said earlier, with the Microsoft account. So if you avoided Windows 8 or 8.1 because of this requirement, you might want to take another look at Windows 10. And they make it easier during the initial setup to not use a Microsoft account. They make it easier to use the system itself without an account. You can attach a Microsoft account to any app that either requires it, which is not very many, or would be better with it. So, for example, if you just want to use, you know, the MSN weather app and get, you know, your favorite cities in there, you can sign in there and don't have to worry about the rest of the system. So I think that's really cool. And I've been, in the course of writing the book about Windows 10, of course, I've got, you know, Windows 8, I've got, or 8.1, I should say, and Windows 7, and you kind of compare these things side by side. You know, how do things change? And it's very interesting in Windows 10. If from sort of a high level, if you look at a feature, you could pick anything. A lot of stuff may not seem like it has changed, either from, you know, Windows 7, if it dates back to there, or to Windows 8.1 or 8.0. And in fact, they've really changed almost everything in the system in small ways and almost always for the better. And this was one that really stood out for me in the course of kind of collecting all the different changes between the OS versions. So that's kind of a cool one if you've been holding off.
Yeah, it's interesting that they backed off on that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was a bunch of hardline stance stuff in Windows 8 that just didn't go over well with people, and they've kind of stepped back.
Yeah. They were a little too purist.
Yeah, a little too much.
Software pick of the week.
Yeah, software pick rather. Microsoft today released the first non-preview versions of the Office apps for Android handsets. This is Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Mary Jo actually had this, I think, a couple hours before Microsoft announced it, but they're there now. And so if you use these apps during the preview, you might know that you had to go to Google Plus and get a special link, and that link got you into the store. Now these things are just broadly available. Anyone can get them in the store. If you did have the preview versions, you'll be updated automatically. They work pretty much exactly like the equivalent iPhone apps do. And so as of today, what we basically see are shipping versions of these apps on Android, handsets and tablets, on iPhones and on iPads. And we still have preview versions on Windows 10 and Windows 10 Mobile. And we were talking about that earlier. I would assume by the end of the year, certainly, that should be finalized as well. And now we'll have that complete set of traditional Office apps on all of the big mobile platforms. Just semi-related to this, there's been a lot of confusion about this topic, not that it matters necessarily too much to us, but Google just announced a free subscription service of a kind. I think a lot of people have misconstrued what that is. And what it really is a free internet radio station, or a set of radio stations. So Google has a service called Google Music that works a lot like, say, well, most online, music services. You can put your own music into there. They allow it to 50,000 songs for free. So if you have a bunch of music, you can upload it. That's kind of nice. Works a little bit like Amazon. They have a subscription service, which confusingly doesn't have a name. But if you want to pay $9.99 a month, you get access to the 30 million tracks they have in their store. You can add that stuff to your collection. I know. Call it Google Music Plus or something.
Call it Prince. Yeah.
Something. Anything. the service formerly known as whatever.
I think they call it All Access, don't they?
That might be true.
Yeah.
That could be. Okay. That service is actually really nice. It doesn't help us. If you're on Windows Phone, you're out of luck. But if you're running Android or iOS, works great. It works on the web as well. And it works, like Xbox Music does with Xbox Music Pass, or like Spotify does if you pay for Spotify, in that you get to add music from their collection into your private cloud collection. You can download it to devices, use it offline while you're paying for the subscription. You can mix and match your own music that you've bought, either on CD or, otherwise from other services. It commingles all this stuff. It's really nice. What this new thing is an ad-supported set of radio stations. And so this brings Google Music into closer competition with Spotify, I would say. I think the timing is obvious.
If you ever use Songza, you'll know what this is, because Google bought Songza, and they're basically making that available for free to everyone now. You got it before. It's ad supported.
So if you do pay for All Access, you get this service without ads, and so that's kind of nice. And so I think the way to compare this would be, we don't actually have this on the Microsoft side, right? So when on like a Nokia or a Lumia device of some kind, I would say that this thing, all of the Google Music services together, are the equivalent of Xbox Music plus Xbox Music Pass plus Mix Radio, which of course now is owned by a third party. Because the radio part of it, the part they just announced, is, it's radio. It's basically internet radio stations. And so this is the thing that is a big deal on Spotify. It's the thing that was a big deal on Beats and will be a big deal on Apple Music. And so this is them trying to keep up with the Joneses. And, as I always do, I compare this thing to what Microsoft does, and I find Microsoft kind of lacking because they walked away from this. And I think they had one of the best internet radio services in mixed radio, and they sold it, which is too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, and if you pay for Google Music, it's...
Yeah, you get it's the whole thing. It's
nice.
It's great.
Yeah. I was a big Songza fan. Songza was focused on, like, time of day and... Moods and so forth.
And yeah, and that's what Beats is like that, and Spotify has that kind of thing as well.
Are you going to do? Are you going to look at Beats or Apple Music when it comes out?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, yep. I think if I wasn't using Windows Phone, I don't know what I would use. I probably would use Google Music actually.
I do. There's some negatives to it. For instance, it's tied to your account.
I don't care about that.
Yeah, I mean. Well, it means I can't let Lisa listen to my music, right? Because she'd have to log into my Google account.
Yeah, so which includes the Apple thing else, is, right? Apple has a family plan, which is very reasonable. I think that's the one interesting thing that they're doing. Apple does not have a free tier beyond like a 90-day trial.
They allow this radio station. The radio stations are free at Apple.
Yeah, as they are today in iTunes Radio, right?
Right. It's kind of the same. Including kind of thing, new Beats One.
Thing. So we'll see how that goes. It's hard to compare this stuff because it changes so much. I mean, even something like Xbox Music, which I think is very far behind these guys in some ways, changes. You know, this year they've added the ability to put songs into OneDrive, for example. I mean, that changes that service a lot. And also, by the way, kind of conforms to that new Windows 10 way of doing things where it's a little less antagonistic to people that don't want to, you know, definitely buy into the way of doing things. So if you just want your own music, you can put it in OneDrive. It works fine in the app. So it just depends on what you want, I guess.
Yeah.
But the Google one looks good to me. I like it.
I've been a subscriber since it began. And I like it a lot. There's some limitations. You can upload your entire collection to it, which is great.
Right.
Amazon does that. And you can do that with Xbox Music too, right? You upload your music.
In OneDrive, but you're beholden to your storage, right? So on Google, you get 50,000 songs for free. Amazon, I think you pay some minimal amount.
I pay $25. You get a few thousand for free, and then I pay.
Or
another.
If you're Prime, I think you just get it for free.
No, I think I had to pay more. I'm a Prime.
You do for $25. It's not much if you did. It was probably $25.
Yeah, it was cheap.
And
for
Apple will do the same thing. $25 a year, you get iTunes Match.
Yep.
It will match your stuff to the cloud. So it just depends on what you're using. Where you listen to music.
Yeah, and Google works with my Sonos. Google works with a lot of the stuff that I use, works on my iPhone.
Yeah, whereas Xbox Music works with nothing.
Well, but if you're a Windows Phone user, you don't have Google Music. So I guess you could use it on the web. Can you use it in the browser?
Not from the phone.
Yeah. Not from the phone.
I'm hoping you saw my tweet, maybe Mary Jo, sorry, yesterday. This is what Google Music looks like on Edge.
Yeah.
It's like a dull gray nothing. It doesn't sound. They're working on it.
Mary Jo Foley, our Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yes. Our Enterprise Pick of the Week. Excuse me. Advanced Threat Analytics.
I detect a threat. Yes.
ATA. So this is one of those fun picks of the week that came because Microsoft accidentally published a blog post before it was ready. And the blog post said that Microsoft will be adding Advanced Threat Analytics to its Enterprise Mobility Suite. So right now, Enterprise Mobility Suite is three things. It's Azure Active Directory Premium, Azure Rights Management, and Intune, the management service. This thing that's called Advanced Threat Analytics is based on this technology Microsoft bought late last year when they acquired an Israeli company called Aorto. Aorato, A-O-R-A-T-O. And what that company did is they had a product called the Organization Security Graph, which lets you look at who's accessing your on-premises Windows Server Azure Active Directory. So you can see if there's any abnormalities, if people are sneaking in and hitting the Active Directory. So it's a security tool, and it's really interesting that Microsoft's going to add this to EMS. They're also going to add it to the product they have called ECS, the Enterprise Cloud Suite. And they also plan to make it available standalone for people who don't want to have it through either of those bundles. It is going to cost you. They're going to raise the price of EMS if you want Advanced Threat Analytics included. And there's going to be some fee for having to get a client access license and, you know, all the lovely Microsoft licensing complexities that we talked about at the start of the show. Just know it's coming. I think it's probably coming within the next few weeks based on how the post was worded before Microsoft took it down. So there you have it. Advanced Threat Analytics.
And Mary Jo has her very own Windows 10 rumor.
I do. Yep. We've been talking about the fact that we don't know when Windows 10 Enterprise was going to be available. Microsoft hasn't said, and there's been a lot of rumors. I've heard August 1st. I've heard September. I've heard October. I heard it was not going to be at the same time as the July 29th start of the consumer rollout. Well, if you go to technet.microsoft.com, there is a very interesting thing at the top of that page, which is the Windows Tech Center. It says, start planning today. Windows 10 Enterprise evaluation will be available on July 29th. And yes, it says the evaluation version, but usually what an evaluation version of an enterprise product is for Microsoft is a time-bombed version of the real final code. So this makes me think maybe there's a chance that Windows 10 Enterprise could be available on July 29th or very shortly thereafter. I've asked Microsoft if they'll comment, and so far no comment.
Well,
par for the course.
It's credible though, right?
Yeah, it's their site. I'm like, your site says it's going to be available on July 29th.
Would you like a credible source?
You confirm.
Can you confirm yourself?
Can you confirm your own site? Yeah. No, but so far no comment.
Let's have some beer. What do you say?
I know. It makes me want to drink. So I, you know, when I do beer pick of the week, I try to pick beers that I think many people can get, at least here in the U.S., that are fairly widely accessible. But every once in a while, I have to dig deep and go for a cult beer. And this week, I'm doing that. I'm picking a beer from Hill Farmstead, which, if you're a craft beer lover, you know they're one of the most famous craft breweries in the United States, probably the world. They're based up in Vermont. They make a lot of different beers. They make this series they call, I think, the Heritage Series, where it's named after their relatives. So the one I picked is Hill Farmstead Anna. It's a saison or farmhouse style, and it's brewed with Vermont wildflower honey.
Ooh.
And Vermont water.
Ooh.
And it's so smooth and delicious. It's not overly sweet. It just is one of those things you drink and you're like, wow, that beer deserves to be rated 100 or whatever it gets rated.
Wow.
On.
So, but there's a little honey flavor though.
Just a touch. Yeah. It just kind of smooths it out. And when you drink it, I always feel like I'm in Vermont when I drink this beer. And in the past week, I've gotten to have it twice, which is crazy because it's really, really hard to get. But two friends have given me samples.
Yep. I love saisons.
Yeah. If you're ever in Vermont, it's very limitedly for sale there at the brewery and at a couple of bars up there. And every once in a while, people trade it or you see it in a bottle shop somewhere. But if you ever get to try a Hill Farmstead beer, you should try that.
Hill Farmstead. And in this one, it's Anna.
Yes.
But you say anything from Hill Farmstead is good.
Anything from them is good. But this one I really like. It's just really, really easy to drink. Would pair with every kind of food and just smooth, lovely summer
honey beer. Never had a honey beer. That sounds
good.
Yeah,
not too honey-ish, though. Some honey beers, all you taste is honey, but this one is very balanced. Right.
Yeah. My friends, we have come to the end of this fabulous show, Windows Weekly. How do we do it each and every week? Well, it's absolutely thanks to these two here. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com, Paul Theroux from Theroux.com. I tip my cup to you both. And thank you for being here. We do Windows Weekly every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC, twit.tv. If you can't watch live, you can always get on-demand shows after the fact. If you go to twit.tv/WW, or you subscribe in your favorite podcast.
May someday even be on the show's page.
It's got any minute now.
They
literally, within, I think, 2 minutes of the request,
that
pushed it to the dev server. Well, they've been doing some touch-up. We got the handyman in, and they're doing a little painting and stuff, spackling some screws. So while they were there, they heard us, and they responded.
Nice.
We've got more than 50 requests to use the API to develop little tools. I think one of the tools I want to do is like a download every episode button.
Yeah.
You know, or something like
Unleash
that.
The hounds.
Unleash the hounds button.
Can any third-party developer use your API? Because I've had people ask me.
Absolutely. So you can read about it at Apiary. If you Google Twit and Apiary, which is an API documentation site, we've got our docs up there. Make a Threescale account if you don't already have one, threescale.net. And then email api@twit.tv to request access. We will be granting access. It's not open to this sense in the sense that anybody can just do it because we need to run it through Threescale so we can keep Threescale not only gives you API keys but also monitors API usage. So if there's a bad actor like pulling 1,000 requests a second, we can cut them off and things like that. So we haven't created a kind of fair use page yet, but at some point we'll figure that out. And at this point, I just want to let anybody who wants it to try it.
I'm waiting for someone to make a mixtape that's just me and Mary Jo saying, I don't know, over and over again.
The API does not allow that.
We don't know.
It's not in the API. You could get the stuff, but not from the API. It's really cool. It's very exciting. We're really thrilled to be doing it this way. It goes a little more expensive, but it gives us... we use the API, too. I mean, the website is a consumer of the API. It's not. It has no special access. It's just like anybody else.
No hidden APIs, Leo?
There are hidden APIs. They're private APIs, but those are for internal use for our editors. Like, so... What you don't see, the website is just the tip of the iceberg.
It's so your own apps run better than other apps. Is that what it is? Is that the business?
No, apps would actually be equal. But we
you
have,
know why he's saying this, don't you?
Yes, I do. Microsoft's been accused of these things for years.
Yep. Spurious charges, all
as
of
if there were some Windows secrets somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we do have a private API because. In addition to a website, we created the whole workflow goes through this. So we have our own editors have their own Drupal pages that they use when they post a site. Everything goes through this. It's really cool. I'm really kind of blown away. It's like a Ferrari. So it's kind of like, but same thing for you guys. But it's harder for us. When you publish a story, you publish it in the CMS, and it publishes out to the website. For us, we're publishing audio and video and.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and to a variety of places and all of that. And the website has to accommodate all of that. And so, and the API does. So with the API, you have full access to all of that. You can read. Basically, it's a read-only API. Then we have a write API for our side. Are we done?
We're done.
I believe we're done.
I think we are.
Yep. We'll see you next. I will not be here for 3 weeks. I'm headed out.
Well, 3 weeks.
Three Wednesdays in a row. I think Father Robert might do some shows. Maybe Mike wanted to do some shows. He used to be the editor of Windows Magazine. He feels like he still.
I'm going to miss. I'm actually going to. I think I'm missing 2 weeks.
Are you?
I just realized. Yeah.
Don't worry, guys. I'm bringing in the heavy hitters.
Oh, Dr. Pizza. Okay, so Father Robert Ballester will be hosting all three Windows Weeklies for the next 3 weeks. I will be back on July. I think that makes it July 21st or 22nd.
Well, I'll be there then, but then the next week I go to France.
Wait a minute, you're going to Ireland and France?
I know, it's a weird year. It's just...
All right. Well, I'm excited.
Be watching for the sways, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Paul, you'll be doing sways though, right?
Yeah, I think I will. I might just do one, you know, for the whole trip or whatever. But.
I'm thinking Google Photos does this whole thing automatically.
I don't know, but do they offer
you get a link
or something?
You get a link. I don't know if you can embed. I have to play with that a little bit.
Yeah, I think you can actually.
The new Google Photos has, you know, you can share to Facebook, you can share to Twitter, you can get a URL. So you can
know what they don't have on the web version for some reason? It's in the apps, is just a slideshow button. You know, like,
I know,
unless they fixed it. I don't know, it must be a mistake. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they'll be adding features. But the thing is, I want to use that collection thing that they do where they put a map in and they show all this and build some things. You could basically, it's like Sway. You just do it every day. It's very similar to Sway. All right. I'll see you in 3 weeks.
Have a great time.
Thank you. 4 weeks.
Yeah, have a great trip. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing photos. So.
Thanks. And you show up here next Wednesday. Father Robert Ballester will be hosting Windows Weekly.
Yep.
Take care. Bye-bye.